Let's read together Exodus chapter 22. This chapter is a continuation of further laws given to the children of Israel for the protection and regulation of their society. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 15. Exodus chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He shall make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hands, whether it is an ox or donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed and lets loose his animal, and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If fire breaks out and catches in thorns, so that stacked grain, standing grain, or the field is consumed, he who kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, and it is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. If the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges to see whether he has put his hand into his neighbor's goods. For any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or clothing, or for any kind of lost thing which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whomever the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep, and it dies, is hurt or driven away, no one seeing it, then an oath of the Lord shall be between them both that he has not put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept that, and he shall not make it good. But if, in fact, it is stolen from him, he shall make restitution to the owner of it. If it is torn to pieces by a beast, then he shall bring it as evidence, and he shall not make good what was torn. And if a man borrows anything from his neighbor, and it becomes injured or dies, the owner of it, not being with it, he shall surely make it good. If its owner was with it, he shall not make it good. It was hired. It came for its hire. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. The Mosaic Law consisted of more than just the Ten Commandments. It consisted of all the laws in the Pentateuch from Exodus chapter 20 right on through Deuteronomy. All the laws under the Mosaic Covenant could be divided into 3 different categories: moral laws, civil laws, and ceremonial laws. Now, we saw that the Ten Commandments were mostly moral laws. The only non-moral commandment of the Big Ten is the keeping of the Sabbath. But even here, there is the moral principle of taking time out from work to rest and remember the Lord. All the laws of the Mosaic Covenant relating to the offerings and feasts were obviously ceremonial laws. Most of Leviticus consists of ceremonial laws, for example. Here in Exodus chapter 22, we have mostly civil laws. Now, certainly there would be some overlap in these 3 categories of moral, civil, and ceremonial laws, but it is helpful when studying the Mosaic Covenant and making any application for today to keep these 3 different categories in mind. Here in Exodus chapter 22, we have further civil laws under the Mosaic Covenant, and so our doctrinal point for this chapter will be the same as the doctrinal point we had for chapter 21. What was that? Remember? The Mosaic Law was given for the protection and regulation of society. That's our doctrinal point. The Mosaic Law was given for the protection and regulation of society. Now we have several subpoints in line with the different sections of this chapter. So subpoint number 1, under the law, full restitution was required. Under the law, full restitution was required, verses 1 through 15. In these verses that we just read, that's the main idea. If something was stolen or destroyed or broken or lost, the guilty party was to make full restitution, and sometimes more. 5 oxen for 1 ox, and 4 sheep for 1 sheep, in the case of theft, verse 1. If the stolen animal was found alive and well, then the thief only had to pay double, verse 4. If a thief was killed at night, verse 2, it was considered self-defense because the owner was not aware of the intruder's motive. But if the thief was killed during the day, verse 3, It was not considered justified homicide, and the owner might have to flee to the nearest city of refuge from the revenge of the thief's nearest relative. The thief's relatives, of course, would have to make full restitution, regardless of whether the thief was killed rightly or wrongly. If a thief could not make restitution, he had to sell himself into slavery until the debt was paid. Verse 3. Notice in verses 5 and 6 that if your animal destroyed a neighbor's property, or if a fire that you started got out of hand, you had to make restitution with the best of your field or vineyard, not just the leftovers. In verses 7 through 13, cases are covered where possible dishonesty was involved on the part of the parties involved. After all, someone might say something was lost or stolen or destroyed, but they could be lying. In these cases, convincing evidence had to be shown, or the judges decided after both parties took oaths of honesty before the Lord. In the case of borrowing something and it got ruined or injured or lost under your care, you had to make full restitution. Certainly, this biblical principle applies today. Let me ask you, what do you do if you borrow something and it breaks or gets lost or damaged in some way? Answer, make full restitution. Illustration. I remember at camp one summer borrowing a counselor's sailboard and breaking the mast by mistake. A new mast for a sailboard costs at that time about $125. Even though he said it was okay and not to worry about it, I had an obligation to make full restitution. And I knew the whole camp was observing the situation. So I went to the bank and got $125 in $5 bills and paid him in public in the camp dining room at lunch the next day. I'd be careful about borrowing other people's stuff. Cars, for example. Don't use the excuse that the insurance will cover any loss. Who pays the increased rates? Remember, full restitution is a biblical principle. Subpoint number 2. Under the law, a dowry was required. Under the law, a dowry was required. Verses 16 and 17. If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price for her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgins. This is not the case of rape. In the case of rape, the offender was put to death according to Deuteronomy chapter 22. This is the case of consensual sex between an unmarried young man and woman. In this case, the man had to pay the required dowry or bride price and marry the woman, and under the law, he could never divorce her according to Deuteronomy 22. The only exception would be if the girl's father absolutely forbid the marriage. In that case, the young man still paid the dowry. After all, in that culture, when that woman did get married, she would not bring as high a bride price to the father, since she was no longer a virgin. Subpoint number 3. Under the law, the death penalty was required. Under the law, the death penalty was required. Verses 18 through 20. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. He who sacrifices to any god, except to the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. We saw in chapter 21 that certain crimes besides murder were considered capital offenses. Here we see that witchcraft, bestiality, and sacrificing to idols were also punishable by death. Subcategory number 4. Under the law, kindness was required. Under the law, kindness was required. Verses 21 through 27. You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like a moneylender to him. You shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. We see in the Mosaic Law and the rest of the Bible that God is concerned about the poor and needy, the stranger, the widow, the orphan, and others. To take advantage of these folks, then and today, is serious sin, and it makes God angry, and he will judge the guilty. Under the law, you were not to charge poor people interest, verse 25. And if you took any of their meager belongings as security, such as a coat which was used as a blanket, you were to return it every night. You know, God is still concerned about the poor and needy. Don't take advantage of them, or you will be going against God, and you will not prosper. Subpoint number 5. Under the law, giving to the Lord was required. Under the law, giving to the Lord was required. Verses 28 through 31. You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the 8th day, you shall give it to me. And you shall be holy men to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. Under the law, you were required to bring your offerings and sacrifices. And you were required to give your first fruits. And you were required to bring your tithes. And you were required to give your firstborn. In the case of animals, the firstborn was sacrificed. In the case of children, the firstborn was redeemed with a certain amount of money, according to Numbers chapter 3. We also see in Numbers chapter 3 that the Levites became a substitute for the firstborn in the family. And the Levites were supported by the required tithes. Now, we're no longer under the Mosaic Law. So our giving to the Lord is not required as it was in the Old Testament. But certainly we have a biblical principle here. As Christians, we are obligated to give to the Lord, and we should be determined to give of our substance to the Lord. In view of what the Lord has done for us, we should give at least as much as was required under the law. In these closing verses of the chapter, we see a couple of additional laws for the protection and regulation of the society of the children of Israel. In verse 28, we see that the people were not to curse God or a ruler in the society because the ruler was in the line of God's authority. And in verse 31, we see that they were not to eat, shall we say, roadkill, that is, animals killed by other animals in the field. This was for health reasons, as well as the blood had not been properly drained in line with the Noahic covenant of Genesis chapter 9. So again, we see that the Mosaic Law was given for the protection and regulation of society. What about practical application? Don't delay your giving. Don't delay your giving. Verse 29, once again, you shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The children of Israel were not to delay their giving to the Lord. They were not to say, well, I can't give now, I'll make it up later. Or I'll give when I get a raise. Or I'll give when I get a better job. Or I'll give when I get out of college and start working. No. It was assumed that you gave regularly and proportionally, regardless of your job or income or status in life or feelings, and you were not to delay your giving to the Lord. So what about us? Don't delay your giving.